Welcome to episode 4 of Espacito, the Espagenesis podcast. My name is Tom, I am the games master for this game.
And I'm John, I play Jefferson Knight.
Thanks for listening all the way to episode 4, we really appreciate it. The reception for the first few episodes has been absolutely brilliant.
We just want to let you know that there's more information going up on the website. The website is espacito.wordpress.com. We'll get the domain name eventually, but we don't have it yet. So we've got character sheets up on the website for D4T4 and Jefferson Knight. We're going to try and get the others up soon. We've also got some maps that Tom has sent over for me to put up. Don't forget to look for us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. Just search Espacito, we'll show up. And also don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. And if you can, leave us a brilliant review on iTunes, because that will help us show up more. And we'd just really appreciate it. Thanks again. And enjoy Espacito, episode 4.
Previously on Espacito. In front of that is a extremely old-looking light freighter covered in rust. The executive sort of walks into the middle of... takes a few steps forward, and he starts to glow blue. He looks at the commander and says, "Take care of this." You look back on the Callistus, you have escaped the Callistus, you come out of the bay doors, and you do level up. You actually see, a couple of kilometres away from the Callistus, is a huge, heavy warship. Railgun after railgun firing, taking huge chunks, and you can tell that the weaponry on it is far in advance of what the Callistus had, and it doesn't stand a chance. It is ripped apart in a matter of minutes.
Guys, yeah. I think we did a really good job on our first day.
we let the ship get destroyed. Stole a bunch of the captain's prized possessions.
Guys, we're really bad at our job.
But you scan, and there is one planet within range that you feel would have a breathable atmosphere.
Let's make a course for that planet.
Any kind of warp speed or hyperspace?
We have to use the crucibles for that.
Yeah, so...
Okay, yeah.
It is capable of that, but you would need to be within range of a crucible to teleport to it, to sort of warp speed to each other. And the crucibles, as you know, are these large moon-like structures. Not Death Stars. They're these... That's no moon. They're these large moon-like structures, which nobody knows who made them, but they're a source of technology and a material called sorium, which powers a lot of modern technology.
Certainly not Mass Effect relays.
Definitely not Mass Effect relays. It's definitely not Starbug, and they're definitely no moon.
And this is not D&D in space.
Where are we on that legal team?
Let's make a course for that planet then and see what's going on down there.
I'm going to have a hunt around for like some sort of mechanics kit so I can set about trying to repair the damage.
Try and get that gun fixed if you can.
I was going to have a look at the out of all again and see if there's anything I can do.
Ozan, you have a look around and you can find like basic mechanics tools, you know, space wrenches, space screwdrivers, space saws. They all go in your space toolbox. You can attempt to sort of repair some of the damage while I read the rules on repairing damage. So the damage that you've done, the hull is actually in reasonably good shape. You've not really taken any damage in that respect. What is slightly weakened is the structural integrity of the ship. D4, you attempt to have a look at the broken cannon. It looks like it's missing a part. You could try and fix it, but it's going to be quite difficult without the part that you need. Can you just quickly roll a mechanics check to just check what... to figure out what part you need.
That's a 21, not natural.
Okay, obviously. So... I'd be questioning your dice if it was. So you need what's called a compensated pulsed alternator, and that would make this a lot easier. But if you want to roll another mechanic...
Is that in Republic credits, or...?
You can buy... You can
Sorry, that was a Phantom Menace reference.
It was, yeah.
I'll just log off now.
I got it, but I'm not sure how I felt about it. That's 50 credits, huh?
How is that legal team?
We are just racking up the lawsuits here. So yes, you need a compensated pulsed alternator. What you can do is you can roll another mechanic check to see if you can fix it without one.
Oh, I wish I had that last roll. Let's go again. Shit, that's better. That's an 18 plus... Is that mechanics?
Yeah.
23.
So it takes you about an hour, but you do manage to jury rig a bit of a solution together, and you do get the autocannon functioning again.
Sweet.
to a fairly decent standard. You're not sure if it's going to last forever. It should hold for now though.
Cool. We got double guns, people.
Yay.
So yeah, so that was fairly successful.
Excellent.
Well done, D4.
You're welcome.
So you keep flying and you lock in the planet on your scanners into the navcom, and it comes up with an ETA of about 10 hours. It's a bit of a trek away.
Shall we check what else is in the ship? Is there a quarters or...
Any like spacesuits or anything?
So there are quarters. There's a very basic mess with a table and a very basic kitchen.
So a chess set.
Yeah, a little chess set with sort of holographic chess of a nondescript origin. There's a little circular orb that flies around and shoots you while you're wearing a blindfold. The ship was originally designed as a freighter, so there is a hold of reasonable size for taking cargo here and there. There's nothing special on there. It's quite an old ship. So after about 10 hours or so, you see this dot of light on the relative horizon, and it sort of grows bigger and bigger and bigger. And eventually you come into orbit of a dusty-looking brown planet with a few straggling wisps of cloud, and the navcom comes up with a breathable atmosphere, sort of life signs. It seems like it's viable. The only thing you notice is that the temperature is extremely high.
Can we scan for spice?
You're just determined to get all of the copyrights. So you approach the planet. You can sense a large sort of gathering of buildings and life signs. There does seem to be a settlement on the surface that you can see. You don't recognize this planet, however, in any of the Navcom's databases. You don't recognize, nothing comes up on the systems in terms of the species living there or the allegiances or anything along those lines. It seems completely off the grid. You can try and move towards the town if you want, see if there's a place to dock there.
And I think we should scan for the pods, because if it's a desert planet, then I'm guessing the pods are probably like scattered all over the place.
So who's leading on that?
What's the... I'll check for life signs. I'll check for the pod signs.
Roll a computing check.
That's 14.
You run a quick check through the systems, and the scanners sort of ping around the planet. You get one signal back. There is one escape pod on the surface. It's just outside the town.
Sounds like a good place to land.
Yeah, cool.
Just in case there's hostiles in the town. We don't know anything about this planet, so...
Yeah, so we don't want to break the not prime direct.
Murder everything.
That is the not prime direct.
I steer the spaceship to the escape pod and try and land next to it.
Okay, so you program again the coordinates into the navcom, and you manage to you skim over the surface of the planet, and as you approach through the wisps of cloud, you sort of circle the planet's deserts and see sort of endless sand dunes passing below you. And you see a sort of cluster of buildings on the horizon standing out against the sort of endless sea of shifting sands. You stay out of range, though. You hear a brief crackling voice over the intercom that just says, unidentified Valare, please identify yourself, state your and it sort of crackles out of earshot, and you feel like you're just on the edge of the scanners, and you think you've probably got away with it. You set the spaceship down in some sand dunes by a series of cliffs that are jutting out of the sand at sort of 90 degree angles. As you land, which is fairly safe, sort of simple landing, you come to the entrance of the ship and you open the door and the... as the stairs...
Can you make this faster, by the way, guys, after, after this?
I like it, it is.
People love the slow ramp.
So as you step out into the heat, the temperature on the surface is nearly unbearable. It's just about manageable, but it's extremely hot. It feels like it's probably in the high 30s, low 40s in terms of temperature. So as you get down to the bottom of the stairs, you see some cliffs in the distance to one direction, and ahead of you, about 200 meters away, you see one of the escape pods. The door on it seemed to have sprung open, and there's nobody inside.
Can we see any tracks?
We need to follow some tracks.
I'll take it from here. Can I find any tracks?
Roll a survival check for me.
Okay. It's a 14.
You can't find any tracks. The wind seems to have blown over them. There is a sort of light breeze going and the sand shifts pretty consistently. You look around, though, and you can't see any signs of injury or any signs of anything untoward. And looking around, the only logical place where someone could have gone would have been the town.
If we hop in the ship and we kind of like go at a relatively cruising speed, like we're more than likely to catch up with the dog.
So the town is about a mile and a half, 2 miles away.
Yeah, they're probably already there.
Is there anything on the escape pod that we can use? A survival pack, flare gun?
So you look in there, you look around, you rummage around, and you do see a small flare gun with one round in it, as well as some basic sort of survival equipment like a small sort of like a flint for starting fires. Again, a small pair of scissors. You would expect to see some basic rations, but they seem to have been taken. And also you'd expect to see a basic sort of sidearm like a pistol, but again, that's been taken.
I'm going to take the flint.
Mark, I'm going to take flint on your inventory.
Can I check the computers on the escape pod to see who the passenger was or any recordings or any details like that?
You go in and roll a computers check.
That's 13.
You go in there and you try and log in. There is some footage that was recorded from within the escape pod, but it's currently locked for data protection reasons.
Oh no!
Fucking GDPR.
I click accept terms.
No. So the data is there, but you can't quite access who is in there. It may be possible to sort of remove the hard drive and take that with you, potentially.
Hey, why not? Why not?
Steal that hard drive.
Might as well rip the hard drive.
So, yeah, you press the sort of eject button and the modular hard drive sort of pops out with you. And you sort of pop that in your bag. You have that now. You have a sort of...
Is it in like 5.5-inch floppy disk?
It's one of those cassettes where you put when you put it in, the whole cassette doesn't go in. The back end of it's still sticking out.
Excellent.
Like an old car radio, the ones that you had to take them with you.
Yeah. And you slip that into your bag. But again, you know that the Callistus is very old technology. It was built as one of the first Tantalus-class vessels. Whilst in its day a flagship, it was a very old ship. So even the technology in the escape pods is pretty old.
So you have that tape now?
I have that tape.
Okay.
Can't do anything with it, but I've got a tape.
Shall we maybe make a note of where this ship is, ordnance-wise, and then make a trek into town?
We have to remember the parking space.
Go back. Remember where we parked. Why are we walking? Why don't we just fly?
Well, we could like land speeder over, couldn't we?
All you know is that when you sort of flew just about in range of the town, you did get some radio chatter sort of asking you to identify yourself.
Yeah, I'm a bit worried about that, whether there might be anti-aircraft guns or something.
Yeah, I feel like Flint might be a safer option. You say it's only a mile away?
It's about a mile and a half, 2 miles, but it is extremely, extremely hot.
We're very sweaty, but we can probably make it.
So I guess we walk like a bunch of chumps towards this city.
It's only a couple of miles, if you are.
Yeah, let's walk to town.
Okay, so you set off towards the town. You can't quite see the town, but you know which direction it's in, and you can see sort of in a very far distance sort of a slight haze and some birds, or what you think are birds, sort of circling above. So you've got a pretty good idea of which way the town is. And you trek over, and it's not long until you can see it in the horizon once you go over a couple of sand dunes. As you walk, the sand is giving way between your sort of steps, and a couple of miles in extremely hot heat. Can you all roll a constitution save for me?
17 for me.
Oh, I have advantage on constitution saves.
Excellent.
Oh shit, so do I.
Oh, wait.
Good job, because I got 19 to 21.
What do you have advantage from?
I have my you said a saving throw constitution, yeah? I have advantage on strength and constitution saving through my, I think, warrior class?
Is it advantage or proficiency?
It's said advantage.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, it'll be advantage.
Oh, sweet. Okay, roll that again. 17.
The sun really beats down on you, but you all manage pretty well to get through it. And within about maybe an hour or so, and gradually you approach a small town. And it is a small town surrounded by these vast swathes of desert. And it seems quite off the beaten track. You don't really understand what it's there for or why it's come up, but as you enter, you're quite surprised by how busy this relatively uncharted outpost is. You see some small stone houses standing side to side next to corrugated iron shacks, cottages fashioned out of old spaceship parts. And for every 20 or so houses you see like this, you see fortified compounds, walls made out of wings from starfighters, or rocks piled up on top of each other. And through the gates of these compounds, you can see these strange modular mansions, which are built out of patchwork shipping containers and rusted out hover cars. Despite the ramshackle nature of the town, it doesn't really feel like squalor, at least in the traditional sense of the word. There is definitely poverty everywhere you look, and it doesn't seem like an affluent town. But the people seem strangely proud of what they built here. It feels like an entire community living off the grid and away from the laws of big society and the mega corporations. And you keep pushing on into the town until you come into a large square. And this square sort of has various streets leading off from it in pretty much all directions. And you're surrounded by multiple buildings, all made out of different materials, different stones, different colours and shades, but all of a sort of brown or grey. And yeah, you find yourself stood in the middle of this town square.
Guys, I don't want to alarm anyone, but I think we're in the Wiki Wiki Wild Wild West in space.
Is that the Wiki Wiki
Wild? I always dreamed of this day.
Wicked Wicked World, Wicked Wild West.
Hey, you said we're going for all the lawsuits, so why not?
Yeah, and a giant mechanical spider just comes over. Note to self, giant mechanical spider.
Shall we look for a bar?
Absolutely.
If I'd landed in an escape pod, the first thing I'd probably want is a strong drink.
Yeah, or at least some water or some kind.
I want to try and find some sort of wide-brimmed hat for this situation.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. That sounds good.
We should get some cork so that we can just string it onto your wide brim hat.
Space Australia? I didn't even think of that.
Space Australia.
I mean, I didn't really think we would get to kind of cowboy crocker bot territory this fast, but I'm glad we're there.
Okay.
Are there any locals nearby we can ask about?
There are dozens.
Saloons?
It's like I say, it's quite a bustling town. It's
okay, let's grab the nearest person and ask them
physically
some questions.
Can I do an intimidate check? Because this is just how I live my life.
An intense crocky bot.
Okay, talk me through that.
So I grab the nearest person walking by. I bodily pick him up and shake him and go, "You there! has anyone new come into town? And just sort of shake him and scream into his face.
Can I just sort of like turn around and walk a few steps away so it doesn't look like I'm with him?
Okay. I've got a 50 on that intimidation check.
He says, just you, sir. Croc, sir. Just you.
If there was someone new in town, where do you think they'd go?
He just sort of points in a direction which leads straight to a brick wall.
I sort of look over, go, are you messing with me? I shake him again.
Pax tries to run through the brick wall.
He looks at you in the face, Ozan, and he just goes, I don't know.
I sort of sigh while still holding this man. And then just go, thank you. And just sort of drop him. And then just sort of step over him and walk in the vague direction of where he pointed.
He scrambles to his feet on all four, sort of all fours, and sort of like scrambles up and manages to run off down an alleyway.
Shall I ask someone else?
Yeah, so long as it's in exactly the same manner.
Okay. I grab the next nearest.
We've set a precedent. We must stick with this. Ask him where the bar is.
Okay, yeah. I grab this person, pick him up, shake him, and go, excuse me, sir! Do you know where the bar is?
Roll an athletics check.
Okay. That would be a 20 non-natural.
20 non-natural? Ooh. So you grab a passing, and his reaction is to sort of wrestle you off and sort of try and spin you back around the other way. You end up in a sort of ever so slight tussle until you've sort of got him from behind, and it turns into a bit more of a fight than you were expecting, until you sort of, what do you want? Get off me!
Kind sir, I'm looking for two people who might not be from around here, or failing that, somewhere where I can get drunk.
I'm no shit about two people, get drunk! And he carries on like sort of wrestling his grasp.
I sort of shake him, and then go, how about that bar then?
Right behind you, stupid lizard fuck!
Whoa, racism.
Well, thank you for letting me know. Not crazy about the tone. And then I bodily pick him up and launch him through. I mean, am I facing a window of this bar?
No. As you look around, there's actually a bar in the centre of the square, and if you even took a cursory glance, you would have seen it. You sort of throw him to the centre of the floor. There is a large pavilion tent in the middle of the square, about 50 feet across. You're not quite sure how you missed it. As you walk in, you can see the rest of the town going about the business, with the occasional hoverbike scooting past, or a sort of occasionally like a beast of burden hauling some crates strapped haphazardly across its back. The tent has multiple tables which have been recently cleaned, but you can already see the dust of the desert sort of casually blowing in over the mismatched plastic garden chairs and camp furniture. And you can see several metal bottles of, like, sort of almost like, you know, calor gas sort of stacked up against a pillar, with a rubber tube leading away from one to a small burner by the bar, where there's a sort of saucepan sitting bubbling away. And there's a couple of Prometheans sitting watching a game of Zero-G polo on TV over to one side. It's the
best. It sounds amazing.
I would entirely watch Zero-G polo.
I noticed that my team are playing.
I'm just imagining like horses just flailing around in mid-air.
Goals are rare. That's all I can say. Goals are very rare in Zero-G polo.
There's loads of panicked horses and people getting kicked in the head.
I mean, that's why people watch it.
Yeah, polo became a blood sport.
Behind the bar, in the centre of the in the centre of the pavilion, there's a sort of circular bar, and there's a human man with a sort of a horseshoe of hair going round the back and sides, and he's bald on top with quite a large moustache. He's just quietly making a cup of coffee for an old woman who sat leaning against the bar on a bar stool.
Okay. Would anyone else like to try social interaction? I'm an introvert at heart.
I'm going to go over to those Prometheans, because I realise that my team, the Ondas Unicorns, playing.
It's canon.
And as I go there, I ask for some sarsaparilla, bottle of sarsaparilla on the way. Space barilla.
Space barilla. So is that to the guy behind the bar?
Yes, I've got 150 Q-bills, so whatever, get me.
So you've got to spend them, hey? And what better way than space barilla?
Booze.
You sort of make a bit of a beeline towards the two Prometheans watching television, but you sort of divert via the bar. And as you walk up, the barman sort of finishes off the coffee he's making for the old, and he sort of looks up and gives a sort of like, "Afternoon, sirs. How can I help?"
"How much for a bottle of sarsaparilla?"
"We actually only have space barilla. It's the newest craze in this arena. 1 cubit for a bottle. It's quite expensive, but worth every penny for that spacey tasty. 1 cubit.
Star. Space barilla."
"Well, I think we should get a bottle each." "Yeah, you're not."
"I'm fine. I don't partake. I'm a space hover's witness."
"There's another lawsuit."
"I'll get a bottle and three glasses."
"Yeah, so he, right you are, sirs." And he gets out quite a large bottle of space barilla, plants it on the bar, gives you sort of three glasses, and then you pour out a couple of glasses of that.
Go over to the Prometheans and say, "Hail, Kingsman," or something of that effect.
One of them looks up and says, "You all right?"
I lay down the bottle and the glasses, pour out three glasses, slide them over to the other two, sit down next to them and say, "Anything strange happened in town recently? See any strangers walking into town?"
"Well, we look like we actually might win this game, so that seems quite strange if you ask me. But other than that, I can't really tell much." The other one sort of sniggers and sort of looks at you and says, "You new in town, son?"
No. I've lived on this planet for 5 years on the outskirts. You won't see me around much."
Roll a deception check.
"Shit."
"Okay." "What do you mean, shit? How did you not see that coming?"
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That is a natural one.
Oh, shit.
So looks you and says, what do you mean the outskirts? Peloton is the outskirts. There's nowhere more outskirts than this. Where are you from?"
"All right, I'll level you with you guys. I'm from our home planet Ondas on a reconnaissance mission for the army." "Oh. That's brought me here."
"The serviceman?"
"Yeah."
"You want to speak to Gary behind the bar? He's a ex-serviceman. He'll tell you all the stories you want to hear."
I take the glasses back from them before they drink.
What are we done with those, are we?"
"Shut your face."
"Yeah." And yeah, I go back over. I'm a soldier, so that gives me some kind of advantage with servicemen. So I'm going to ask him a few questions.
Can I help you, sirs?"
"Yeah, I'm going to drop this voice because it's hurting.
Have you seen anyone new in town? Any strangers walking in except for us or sport?"
Other than yourself, sirs? No, I can't say I have. Then again, I don't get out of my bar much. If no one's been into my bar, I probably wouldn't have seen them."
"Where's the first place someone would go, do you think, to get maybe supplies or to communicate something to..."
"Like, if say I walk up, if say, you know, an escape pod landed just outside town, would anyone go and collect them? Would they, do they have to go to like a sign-in point? Like, is there customs around?"
"You mean like, hypothetically?"
"Yeah, hypothetically."
"I mean, as far as goods and supplies, you'd be wanting probably Argos. Argos is just on the other side."
"Do you mean Argos?"
No, it's Argos."
"No!"
"Okay, whereabouts is that?"
"I swear to God, we have to wait into three different queues to find out what we need."
"It's a gravity."
"No, it's fine. You can do it all on a computer nowadays. You just need to pass the computer skill check."
"Is there any kind of communication relay?"
"I don't know about that. I mean, as I said, Argo runs the local warehouse. Anything else going on, you'd be probably wanting to talk to the Shining Guild. They run this town."
"The Shining Guild?"
"Aye, the Shining Guild. You're not from around here, I can tell, and I'll level with you. They're a shady bunch. Not quite on the level, if you'll get me, but They do all right by us. They look after the locals, as far as I can tell.
Where are they based?
I mean, most of them hang out at the Coronet down there. But I wouldn't recommend going there. It's a shady place. If you want a quiet drink, you're much better here at the Grog Shop.
I like my drinks dangerous.
I turn to the old lady and I try and whisper at her and I go to her, "Did you hear that, old woman? He likes his drinks dangerous."
She sort of looks at me.
"How do you like yours?"
Danger?
"Old woman, how dangerous do you like your drinks?"
She sort of looks at this coffee and roll a dexterity save.
3.
She sort of looks at this coffee and then she looks at you and just sort of throws it down your leg. And, you take 2 points of fire damage.
Oh my god.
Comrades, I'm under attack. This old woman has used some sort of flaming liquid.
She doesn't even react. She then just goes back to the bar and just sort of punches over.
"I respect you, old woman."
"My god, that was a dangerous drink."
Okay, so should we just go to this, like, dangerous bar?
Yeah, that sounds fun.
We're in the dangerous bar!
Old people just don't like you, that's fine.
Yeah, so we make our way to the dangerous cantina bar.
You just go to leave, and suddenly the one of the Prometheans changes the channel as the match finishes, and you see a face on the screen, which you recognise. You realise the same face of the man in the sharp suit and the long silver hair that you saw on the Callistus. The last time you saw him, he floated off the floor surrounded in blue light and flushed himself out of the airlock.
Easiest fight ever.
So he is currently speaking into the camera, and the TV is currently on mute, but he's speaking into the camera. You can see his face. He's just sort of looking straight into the screen, almost like...
Can I ask if we can put the volume on?
The bartender sort of grabs the remote and sort of slides it towards you over the bar.
I find the volume button and press up.
"This crime is an utter atrocity," the voice on the screen goes. "And the culprits will be caught and brought to justice. I can only express my deepest condolences to the families of the departed and know that whilst there is no way we can undo what has been done, any families affected by this tragic incident will be looked after by the Infinity Corps and Revesis." The camera cuts back to an Eldori newsreader who's got blue skin and is wearing a red blazer. "Thank you. That was Venom Page, Deputy Chief Operating Officer of Revesis and the sole survivor of the destruction of the HWBC Callistus, which we have just heard about recently. Again, information is still coming in, but the Sylvain Security Forces and the Infinity Corps are calling the attack a terrorist incident and attributing it to a group quickly being known as, by the media as the Epsilon Shift. The SSF have released these pictures, which some viewers may find disturbing."
Goddamn motherfuckers. As soon as he came on the TV, I was like, that's blaming it on us.
The screen quickly changes to a brief video of a Promethean in armor who is, you quickly realize is Pax, and you see him hacking off the head of a blurred out corpse, which is, it's just sort of pixelated, and you see him hacking this corpse off and then kicking. And then kicking a small blurred out object which flies off the edge of the screen.
Pax nods and goes, "Hey, that guy's pretty cool."
D4 can clearly be seen in the background watching Pax kick this blurred off severed head flying off the screen. The newsreader continues, "The SSF have warned the public not to approach the subject as they are extremely armed and dangerous, but please do contact the Central SSF hotline on the number below with any further information. A reward of 10,000 units has been offered for any information which leads to a successful apprehension."
I lean into the other three and say, "Guys, maybe we should go."
The bartender looks at you and he sort of slides the remote back over the bar and says, "Sorry, gentlemen, but I think we're going to be closing early today, public holiday and all that. And you see the two Prometheans listening to each, sort of whispering to each other at the table as they sort of stare at you quite quietly while they're muttering under their breath.
And I say, like, slightly louder than I need to. So, armed and extremely dangerous, they say. Well, that's good to know. Extremely dangerous.
Are you saying that to them?
No, I'm saying it to these guys, but loud enough that everyone can hear.
Do you want to try and intimidate them with that, or are you just making a statement?
I'll try and intimidate them, why not?
Yeah, sure. Roll an intimidation check.
Okay. That actually went surprisingly well. Intimidation. That's a 21 to intimidate.
Okay. So they look at you, and you sort of notice them slide back into their seats ever so slightly and just sort of place their hands quite calmly where you can see them. They don't react too obviously, but they just sort of just sink back into their chairs and place their hands sort of quite clearly on the table.
I widen my eyes a little bit and start walking backwards out of the bar.
Okay, nobody moves.
Okay.
You guys coming?
I also move backwards. We all kind of...
I still have no idea what's going on. I look around and I see that my friends aren't there. And I, also slowly go backwards in imitation.
So you find yourself in the town square of Peloton, just outside the Tessa and Grog shop. The whole town is your oyster, even though you do have a bounty on your heads.
And there was a place called Argos as well?
Argos, yes.
Argos.
Argos was a local shop called Argos Goods.
Okay.
So, like, just out of character, because they've only released pictures of those two, could I turn them in and get a reward?
Theoretically.
I'm not saying I would. I'm just like, if there's like a particularly cool thing that I want to buy in Argos and I can't afford it, but like...
Then again, there's two of them and one of you.
Fair point.
All of you notice each other, like, eyeing each other suspiciously, and your hands sort of go to your belts, like, just ever so slowly. And then there's a bit of a moment of tension.
Shopping?
Yes! Yay!
Let's go to Argos.
Retail therapy would be appropriate.
Yeah, let's go see what they're selling in Argos.
Argos.
So Argos is quite a large building. It's a large warehouse like structure at the side of the town square. The outside is strewn with rich linen fabrics and silks of various colours, and the building stands out amongst the rest of the drab exteriors, as the building seems to be the only building in the town which has any sort of colours on it other than brown or grey. As you step inside, you see rows and rows and rows of goods and crates stacked up several metres high. There's a few cabinets with armour-plated jackets hanging up in them, and various racks holding bits and bobs of weaponry. In the corner, you can see a large rotating barreled machine gun hooked up to wires and various computers. There is a counter with a small bell on it.
Is there like a catalogue that I can look through?
There is a laminated book describing all the dreams that you could possibly want.
Are there several tiny pens that I can steal?
There's lots of pencils, but they're all really blunt.
Fantastic. I grab as many as I can.
Like, no one cares. It's factored Fantastic. Into the cost.
I stuff my cold, unfeeling pockets full of cold, unfeeling pencils.
So, you are currently stood in Argos. Argo is the owner. There's an apostrophe between the O and the S. No, there's not. Bad grammar. There's an apostrophe after the S. Get the grammar right.
The important thing is it's legally distinct in all ways.
I smash the bell. Smash that bell as hard as I can.
So you... Oh, wait, no, shit. No, the apostrophe is between the O and the S. I need to get his name right.
So his name is Argo, and he owns the shop, so yes. It's Argos with an apostrophe between the O and the S.
Yeah, no, it is. It full well is.
It was an important differentiation.
It is, because...
Yeah, otherwise the shop would be called Argos' is.
Argos' is, yeah. I mean, that may be a better differentiation.
If this podcast ever gets famous, we're going to be role models. We need to teach the kids effective grammar.
So, yeah, so now we've figured out where the apostrophe is. Yeah, so you hit the bell and a tall Kesh wearing quite sort of a nice sort of military jacket. And he has a sort of grey head with no hair on it. And he's got a small metal chip sort of implanted behind his ear. He sort of looks at you and looks around. Hello, welcome to Argos. How may I help you, sirs?
Got any big shiny swords?
Swords, yes, swords. We have everything you could possibly need, really, in that department. Swords, guns, the occasional cybernetic, anything you need to give you that edge in combat, the occasional stim, potion. What is it you're looking for, specifically?
Just a big shiny sword.
And crocodile-shaped helmets.
He sort of looks around and... Yeah, he has a variety of swords, nothing too out of the ordinary, but he does have forearm blades to long blades, sabers, a great axe, a grand blade. The swords go pretty much as big as you would want to lift, really.
There's nothing really there that can do more damage, is there? With a two-handed.
What have you got?
Yeah, I got two sabers. So.
Two sabers. Two sabers is probably the best you're gonna get already for here.
No special weapons or anything.
He doesn't have any special weapons. He does. He did mention he specializes in. He has some cybernetics, which can be used and installed potentially. Basically, he has everything you would find in the standard manual, as well as a couple of extra sort of cybernetics things.
What do the cybernetics do?
Ah, well, I'm very glad you ask. We have a synapse enhancer. We have a HUD band, which sort of fits over your eye, gives you a bit of a tactical layout of the room. We have synapse enhancers that increase the speed that your brain's firing at, helps you move faster.
Oh, I could do with that. I could do with one of those intelligence enhancers, I think. How much is one of those?
Ah, the HUD band computer. We sell those for 500 gold pieces. Not gold pieces, fuck sticks. We sell those for the HUD bands. We sell those for around 500 qubits.
I mean,
damn.
Are you interested in part exchanges?
Well, I am a businessman. Whatever you have, I might be willing to trade.
Right. I've got
rate on qubits to blunt wooden pencils?
I have more of those than I need one. Do you think they sell those individually? I have to buy those fuckers in bulk. I have crates.
Are they still blunt? Are they still blunt when you buy them?
They come like that. I don't know what I'm doing to these people. I don't know what I've done to deserve it. They come like that.
Do they sell sharpeners?
Oh, that's the thing. That's where they get you.
Yeah, that is where they get you. Like, they'll sell you all these blunt pencils for super cheap.
Ten of credit.
Get you on those sharpener premiums.
Yeah. I tried whittling it with a knife, and he holds up his hands and they're just covered in scratches and like deep cuts where he's tried to whittle these pencils himself.
It's not easy.
Just blue blasters on every finger.
Now, I have a singular short blade and an energy staff that I'm not particularly fussed about, if I'm perfectly honest. So how much would you give me for a singular short blade and a singular energy staff?
You sort of... looks at them, looks them up and down, sort of checks the blade straight. I think I could give you 100 qubits for both.
How about I give you an endorsement and we make it 150? Look at the face. Look at who I am. You know who I am.
He sort of squints his eyes a bit.
I'm a well-known hunter.
Yes, you. You're the... Oh, God, you... Yeah, you killed that guy.
Yeah, that's right. The entire captaincy, all of the heads of that massive gang that was terrorizing the galaxy. That was me. I did that.
Yeah,
entirely.
None of the rest of us have killed anyone, though. It's just him.
Yeah, I mean, endorsements don't do much good way out here. We're not in the capital systems here, but I guess if I can get a bit of a sound bite of you endorsing the shop, what's your name again? I do recognize the face.
It's Jefferson Knight, but yeah, I could happily Jefferson. Record you one calling myself Commander Shepard if you like.
And this is your favourite shop on the Citadel.
It is my favourite shop on the Citadel.
He sort of gets out a little camera and he sort of takes a photo with you. He said, put your thumbs up. Stick your thumbs up. And he takes a little selfie with you. Fabulous. I'll stick that on the wall. I guess maybe 115 if... Although, if you do buy anything, do tell them that all the murders were committed with goods from Argos.
So, like, if I sell you these, can we get, like, a part exchange deal for, like, I don't know, my short blade and the energy staff, plus 300 credits for the enhancement? How do you feel about that?
I also have this great axe, and I pull it from my back and throw it down the counter with a clatter.
That too.
He looks at it, and he's like, yes. Okay, yes, the energy staff, the short blade, the great axe, and 300 credits for the hard band.
Wait. This great axe would go for 300 credits alone.
He looks a bit sheepish because you blatantly caught him out. Like, he full well knows that was a good deal in his favour. Well, yes, but you've got to think about the secondary market. People don't want to go around killing people with an axe that is already killed. It just doesn't feel the same. People get a bond with their weapons, you know, so the secondhand market is rather stagnant.
I'll go. Come on. You've got Jefferson Knight from Jefferson Starship here. Like...
perhaps if you were to sign the Great Axe.
I could happily sign the Great Axe.
Ooh, that's memorabilia right there.
Okay, so... roll a persuasion with advantage.
Okay, so that is... a 19.
Right, okay. Final offer, best I can do. The energy staff, the short blade, the great axe, and 100 credits for the HUD implant.
We good with that? I mean, I'll be honest, I don't want to spend too long haggling.
Yeah, true.
It'll get dull.
Are you in the interest in the market for... exotic weapons.
What kind of weapons?
Oh, no, hang on. Is this the Winchester? Because I might want that.
Never mind. It was by the way.
A Winchester, you say?
A Winchester.
Well, throw in the Winchester and I'm happy to negate any credits from this deal.
I kind of feel like you don't owe us money then.
Would you be able to throw in a heavy pistol as well?
And a portable shield device for each of us.
You want a portable shield device?
I don't.
Well, we've got one, haven't we?
Out of character, do we have one at the moment? I thought we could start.
Yeah, you've got a portable shield device that we took off that big guy.
You've definitely got at least one.
Well, we'll need three more. And three more portable shield devices.
Okay, so he starts, he gets like an old style sort of calculator out with like a piece of paper coming out the top of it, and it punches the numbers in, starts doing a couple of sums.
Does he pull out like a little green visor?
Yeah. he just starts smoking a cigarette. So he's sort of muttering under his breath. Okay. So...
his pencil breaks several times.
So the energy staff, the short blade, and the great axe, and the Winchester for three portable shield devices and the HUD implant.
And a heavy pistol.
I'll throw in a heavy pistol for 100 credits on top, and that is a good deal, my friend.
Hooray!
Yeah, it sounds good.
I'm happy with that.
Okay, so you score the energy staff, the great axe, the short blade, and 100 credits from your sheets. I don't know who wants to get rid of the credits.
I will. I asked for the heavy pistol.
Okay.
By the way, I do still have one short blade. I just didn't want to.
Okay. And... Mike, you get a small computer which you can wear over your eye. Gives a sort of tactical layout of the room. And it is useful for looking information up on the fly, making calculations, showing your distances, things like that. And that gives you a +1 to intelligence.
Nice. Does that include saves?
Checks.
I mean, is somebody else that's more intelligent better having this? Or... I mean, I'll have it, but...
I feel like you wanted it.
Okay.
I mean, we could do with spreading the intelligence out a little bit.
Yeah, true that.
We really could. At least you balance out at zero when you roll now.
We've all got portable shields now as well.
Yeah.
Hooray!
So I do at some point want to get an auto rifle, but I'm not in any rush really.
Okay. So as you sort of start looking at your gear, Argo's sort of behind the counter admiring this Winchester rifle. He's he seems to be really happy with that, and he grabs the things and locks them under the counter. He takes the Winchester into the back room.
What does a personal shield device do?
Personal shield devices basically stop high velocity weapons ripping you apart. They basically, any weapons with a high velocity property, if you don't have a personal shield device, they do extremely high damage.
Good thing we have them then.
Do we go see that gang there or something? Or
yeah, let's get out of the bar.
Okay.
And I just want to say, like, guys, I know we like, you know, intimidating and, you know, generally being dicks, but
murder.
If it's a gang run bar in a gang run town, maybe be cool.
You be cool, human.
So you're saying, so just that we're on the same page, you're saying we should kill all of the gang members, take over the town, and run it ourselves.
I think that's a good plan B. I think first off, we should try.
As to what plan A is.
Sounds like a long game plan.
Yeah, plan A is more of a don't do any of that and survive.
It's a little vague, but I'll go with it.
We take it on board. Yeah.
Okay, cool. D4, do you want to just like hang back whilst they do whatever they do and we'll just pretend we're not with them?
That's maybe a good idea.
Yeah.
I'm cool, confused. I thought we were listening to you with plan A.
We are listening to me with plan A. I feel like you'll forget it.
Hey, I've got plus one intelligence.
Clever now, explain this to me.
Basically, we're going to go into that bar and we're going to hit some people.
No.
Not.
Oh, sorry.
I understand.
Not hit some people, sorry.
So we're not going to hit some people.
Okay.
Look at the gang bar.
I'm glad we clarified all of that.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening. That was a wonderful adventure where, you know, we land on a planet, we don't find much, we find out that we're in trouble, we go shopping. You know, it was an exciting adventure for everyone involved. We ribbed Tom for calling a shop Argos. That was a lot of fun. But here's a little treat for you. It is an explanation of the evolution of Crocubots, or Matakai, but we prefer Crocubots. Enjoy.
Why do you sound so sarcastic?
I don't know.
Do you even enjoy being here?
I don't think so.
How is that for Crocobots? Because I imagine the water is both a blessing and a curse for an aquatic animal and a machine.
I mean, is a mixed blessing.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish we'd invented waterproofing before we melted all of our planet's ice caps, but, you know, you take the rough.
Yeah, you would have thought the need to hydrate, plus having mostly iron-based machinery, is probably the best idea.
Why would they use iron?
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, we were very, very technologically advanced, but in other ways, we weren't. I mean, you know, it's a real humdinger.